Awesome. So Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, that's what we're going to read today. I'm going to read a couple of verses, verse 28 to verse 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy landed, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The title of my message this evening, short and simple, is Free to Let Go. You know, I've done a message already kind of on our freedom a couple weeks ago on truly freeing Christ and what that really means, how most box churches and institutional churches put people under bondage and burdens. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and this is what I'm going to explain to you here. The church is not a building. It's not a physical building. It's the body of Christ. See that? We had a guy here who was Orthodox trying to debate me when it was started. Okay, well, Israel, Orthodoxy was a split off of the Catholic Church. Okay, I'm not talking about the Reformation. The Orthodoxy came from a split off the Catholic Church around 1052, I'm pretty sure. So it wasn't like, oh, this is the church that God started. No, the church, when you read the New Testament, is not a physical location. It's not a building. It's not where it's cool statues of saints. It's the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And every member who believes the gospel is part of that body. And that's why, like, you know, we have these things behind us, the Fox Den, you know, all that stuff is because we know that the church is not a building. And I also want to say, you know, the pastor, by the way, I'm not a pastor. I'm just like you guys. But also, you know, a pastor is not someone in a position of authority, right? When you go to a traditional church like this, when it's like this, you know, people think the pastor is like this man of God where you have to listen to him. But here's the thing. The pastor is a spiritual gift to the body, and it's not a position of authority, right? Church back then wasn't like this. The reason we do church like this is because most people are used to it and they're comfortable with it. But back then, churches where everyone got gathered around and we speak and we share Christ, okay? But most are antisocial. They don't talk, right? So when we do the gatherings, we don't speak sometimes. That's why we do this. But my point is that we're truly free in Christ. And the issue of most institutional churches, box churches out there, they put burdens on you and they try to bind you. Now, the title of my message is Free to Let Go. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to show you again your freedom. Verse 7, it says this, but if the ministry of death written on engraved stones, and of course, what is he referring to? The Ten Commandments, the law, right? We die to the law, the Bible says. And right here, it says this, starting here in verse 14 or verse, where is it? 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn unto the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. What does liberty mean? Freedom. There is freedom. The Bible is clear that we're dead to the law. The moral law, the same law you still have permissions. All right, thank you. All right, anyway, sorry about that. So let go of your past, you're forgiven. Okay, the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third. That is the gospel message. I'm sorry about that, guys. That guy, I mean, these people are so stupid. You know, these all,
his name and his stuff, I'll put report in.
It's funny, these alt-right people, right? They're against Jews, they're against all this other stuff, but they're living like Jews, you know? They want to talk about God and all this, but yeah, they're trying to get people to keep the law. They're living like Jews. We died to that. It's funny. Hypocrites. But anyway, let go of the past. You're forgiven, right? God doesn't just forgive you of all your sins. He erases the record, right? You don't have to replay what God has already deleted, right? You don't have to keep dwelling on your past. He has forgiven you fully of all your sins. All of them. Romans 4:7, blessed are they whose sins are covered, whose sins are forgiven. So the moment you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, you are forgiven. But the Bible tells us we're made the righteousness of God in Christ the moment we believe. Your sins are gone. So there's things in your life that you're holding on, regret, shame from past mistakes that you dwell on. But the Bible tells that the cross has cleared it. And your future mistakes that you're going to make, they're gone. God no longer sees them. So with your freedom, let go of the past. Let go. You're free to let go because Jesus has already taken care of it. Second point, let go of control. God knows what he's doing. letting go isn't just about the past. It's about the need to control the present. We cling to people, plans, outcomes, trying to manage what only God can. Right? And we're all like that. Right? When we make a mistake, what's our first thing? I got to fix it. And you say something you regret, you've done something you regret, and you're thinking, I just got to get this done. I got to fix this right now. And what happens? You either make it worse, right? You make it worse, you get frustrated, and you feel guilt and shame. So you're free to let go of control. Rest begins when we stop trying to play God. You don't have to fix everything or everyone. Paul, what did Jesus say? Come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Trusting God means you can breathe, even when life doesn't make sense. Faith is not control. It's confidence in what God has already controlled. And here's the thing. God is in control. He is sovereign. David says, he knows my ways. He knows everything about me. He has searched me. You can let go because God never let go of you. So you're free. Right? We talk about freedom here. Again, we're free from the law. We make this very clear. You died to the law. So you're no longer under God's wrath. The moment you believe in Jesus, you're forgiven of all your sins, you have eternal life. But not just that, God has made you righteous and holy. So no matter what condition you're in, look at me, no matter what condition you're in, no matter what state you're in, you say, preacher, I've done this, I've done that. It's under the blood of Jesus. He no longer sees you in your sins. He sees you as holy and righteous because of what Jesus did. So when you're dwelling on your mistakes and worrying about, I've done this, I've done that, Jesus said, I forgave you 2,000 years ago when I shed my blood. Your history is no longer your history. Your history is the cross. Your past is yesterday. Your mistakes don't define you. Look at me. Your sins don't define you. You can sin 1,000 times a day and none of it will touch your record in heaven because of what Jesus did. This is the gospel. Let me ask you a question. Is it good news if I say to you, you want to go to hell, do you? Then turn from all your sins and get right with God. Go to church, read your Bible, pray, do this. Is that good news? No, it's not, because no one can do those things perfectly. No one can. But what is the gospel? What is good news? That right there, that cross. What did Jesus do for you? He died. Why did he die? So you can live with him freely. He shed his blood as a payment for all sin. He made you righteous by faith. Right now, you're righteous. Right now, you're holy because of what Jesus did. Well, I don't live like it. I'm not talking about how you're living. I'm talking about the gospel. You can be a dirty crackhead on the street corner and you're going to heaven because of what Jesus did. That's the gospel, like it or not. Jesus was a friend of sinners. But I'm going back to my main point is of your freedom. You're truly free in Christ. You're free from bondage, guilt, and shame. Not just that, you're free from not trying to earn people's approval. You don't have to do dance and religion. Go on church on Sunday, dress in a nice outfit. Oh, hey, brother, the Lord is just so good, brother. Just so good, brother. Lying. It's okay to be you. It is okay to be you. Every Sunday, though, in the box shirt. Look, right now, I'm wearing this nice outfit, right? Would you say it's kind of like, what, modest and all that? I'm not wearing this in real life. You're free to be you. You don't have to pretend to be something you're not. So let go of control. Trying to control everything, manage everything. That causes frustration. That causes pain. That causes what? Guilt and condemnation. You're free to let go. And you're free to let go of the past. And that's a hard thing we all struggle with, right? Forget the mistakes, right? Forget what this is, but you're free to let go of what people have done to you. I was dealing with some stuff, some friends of mine, good friends of mine, brothers in Christ, who I still love, done wrong by me. They lied about me, accused me, and they done all this stuff, and they were, trying to battle with me. And I try to reach out, reconcile. We have talked so many times, and yet they kept doing this. And I am free to let that go and not let that define me and not let that dictate my future. You're free of that. People have done wrong by you. You're free to let go of that. God's in control. My third point is this. Let go of fear. You are fully loved. Fear is what keeps us from holding on, right? It keeps us from holding on. Fear of rejection, failure, or loss. You don't need everyone's approval. You don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. You're safe. And the one that loves you, and that's Jesus. So when we talk about freedom, our liberty, Paul says, stand fast in liberty. We're free in Christ because of the gospel, people. Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When I go out preaching on here, a lot of people always try to argue with me. They, say crazy stuff. Hell, say in this and this and this. And because in their mind, they think I'm some this religious nut who is there to condemn them or judge them. But here's the thing. I know why they feel like that. And I know why people here right now, the way you feel of hating God, because you think God hates you. You were told your whole life that God hated you, the way you are, your sins, and God's ready to just condemn you to hell. But I want to tell you something today about not just about your freedom, but about the gospel. See, the gospel stands for good news, and it should be good news for who? Sinners. People talk about the cross all the time. And most of the time when they talk about the cross, they just put you in a guilt trip. Am I right? Jesus did this for you, and you're doing nothing. But that's the point of the cross. Jesus did all the work for us. He says this in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so we can be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, how can I be righteous, preacher, when I'm drowning in this, I've done this, I've done that, and I don't want to change? That's fine. God's not asking you to change your flesh. He says this, it's a free gift just to believe in me. I'll make you righteous spiritually. And this is not a feeling. It's not a sensation. It's a biblical truth. Jesus died on the cross for your sins so you can live freely. So you can spend eternity with him. It's all about what he did, not what we do. And he says, you're not just righteous anymore, but you're now what? Sanctified. You mean what? You're holy. You're righteous and holy now because of what Jesus did. And I'll show you this right now. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 3. And listen to what I'm saying here, okay? This is old language, so if you don't understand, I'll explain. But look what Paul says here. I'll start here in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We can admit that. But he goes on to say this. Being justified freely, meaning it's not a transaction, it's freely given, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood and his finished work, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. The remission of sins here is the forgiveness of sins that I pass through the forbearance of God. And he's saying basically, the moment you place your faith in what Jesus did, you are declared righteous and forgiven of all sin. Is that good news or what? But now that you're in Christ, you're free. You're free to love. You're free to let go. Jesus said, come unto me, all you are labor and heavy, and I'll give you rest. See, the Christian life is not a life of servant and slavery, as the institutional church makes it out to be. Get right with God and pray and go to church and God will bless you in this lifetime. Amen, amen, amen. And so they create Christianity on this performance-based righteousness. And because of that, as young kids, when you heard about Jesus, you became defensive. Even now, most people today, when they hear about the gospel and they hear about Jesus, they're defensive because in their mind, they think Jesus is this hard taskmaster who just wants slaves and servants. But in Luke chapter 4, Jesus said, I came to free the captive, the slaved. How were we enslaved? Was it by sinning? What was the story in Genesis 3? What did Satan tempt Adam and Eve with? It wasn't fornication. It wasn't sinning. You know what it was? It was godliness. Satan said to Adam and Eve, you can be like God, knowing good from evil. Saying you can be holy, you can be righteous if you knew what was right from wrong. So what did God do? When Satan enslaved us in guilty conscience and fear and bondage because of the tree of good and evil. And because of that, people thought they can live like that. So God gave Israel the law to show how holy and righteous God is. How none of us can meet his standard. It brought us guilty before him. And it made the way of Christ. And when Jesus came, he was the righteousness of God. And when he went to the cross, he fulfilled the law on your behalf. The law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms concerning him. What he did on the cross was he abolished the law. So now we're no longer enslaved in what? Guilt, fear, shame, bondage, condemnation. In the Gospel of John, we read it all the time. It says, he that believeth is not condemned. You're not condemned. And we get caught up on our sins, our conditions. Oh, I've done this, I've done that. When our focus needs to be, hey, I've been forgiven when I believed. These sins God no longer sees. And because the people have spiritual OCD, right? They always pray the same, oh Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. God doesn't like that. You're shrinking back in fear. God, you should say, instead of that, say, thank you, God, I am forgiven. He already forgave you the moment you believe. See, many Christians today don't trust what Jesus did. They're trusting what they do. That's why in Matthew 7, Lord, Lord, I prophesied. I cast out devils. I done this and I done that. Lord says, depart from me. I never knew you. You worked that iniquity. Why? Because those people are still dead in their sins. They're trusting their own righteousness. They have not trusted what Jesus did, his righteousness. But you're free. Some of you are new here, so I'm kind of making this a little more of a gospel too. I do apologize. But my point, my main sermon is that you're free. You're free to let go of that guilt and shame. You're free to let go of the past, the wrongdoings you've done, the mistakes you made, or things that people have done wrong towards you. You're free to let go of that and not let that define who you are or your future. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Galatians. And we're in, of course, Wednesdays are our Bible studies. We're in Galatians, but I mean, it's just so good. Galatians chapter 4, I'm going to read it starting here in verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, under the law. All right, when you see Jesus preaching the law in the Gospels, his purpose of what? Verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. The purpose of Jesus preaching the law wasn't to save you or to give you a rule book how you, like, you know, people, oh, the Sermon on the Mount, amen. But the Sermon on the Mount is impossible. It was to show you you can't do it. To bring you guilty before God, before him. Look what goes on to say. To give them the adoptions of sons. Verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you're no longer a servant, but a son. What does that mean? You're no longer a slave to this world, to the religion. Hey, you don't have to go to church on Sundays to get God's favor. As believers, you're standing in his favor. It's saying, hey, you don't have to go to church and earn men's approval. You have God's approval because of what Jesus did. You're standing in God's favor. You're standing in his blessings because of what he did. Freedom, brother. That's what God offers. You're forgiven already because of what Jesus did. The moment you believe, you're forgiven. Your sins don't upset God. Right now, you can sin 1,000 times today and none of it will send you to hell because of what Jesus did. If that shocks you, then you're just denying the gospel. Well, my pastor, listen, look up here. I'm not the man of God. I'm not a leader. I'm not a pastor. I'm not the pastor of this thing. I'm this guy who shares my comforts through preaching, okay? Through sermons, all that kind of stuff. Well, my pastor says, pastors are not church leaders. What does the scriptures say about Jesus? He paid it all. He shed his blood. He made you righteous. So my point one was what? Let go of the past, the mistakes, the regret, the seasons we wish we could, you know, erase, things that wish we never happened. You're free to let that go. Because why? The cross has already covered them all. God doesn't just forgive you of your past or present, future sins. There's no record of them. There's no record of them at all in his sight. And you don't have to replay in your mind and the things that you've done or things you wish you would have said and not say over and over because God has already deleted them. His grace is bigger than your biggest failure or your worst season. Paul said what? He forgets what is behind. Why? Because he wasn't ignoring what he did, but he was resting in grace, knowing that he was free to let go. So that's no longer defining me, that mistake I made, or that season, that the thing that happened, the things that were done wrong by me, I'm not going to let that define me. I was done wrong by multiple people. You know, people betrayed, and listen, I'm pissed off. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and like, oh, I'm this merciful, loving guy. No, I'm pissed off. I'm human. I want my revenge. But that comes because I'm letting that control my life. And you know, God has given me my revenge multiple times. And I'm still not satisfied. I'll tell you a story. You know, right now we have more views on YouTube than most churches altogether. We made more money. And listen, I'm not trying to boast. It's all God's supply. God provided for our new church building. Right? And so, you know, when I started my second ministry, it was out of bitterness and revenge. Because I was done wrong by people. And God gave me what I wanted, and I was still not satisfied. Why? Because I was letting that control my life. God said, I gave what you wanted. I gave you tons of people. I got you that man, all this, right? And I was just so in bitterness, and I was still not satisfied. I wanted more. But then, I was free to let it go. This ministry here that we started, it was a fresh start for me. For everyone. It was not rooted in bitterness. Say, no, I don't need to let these people define me or prove something to them. I don't need their approval. I don't need to show you guys. I don't need to justify myself before anybody. And God has blessed this ministry. You know, people are getting saved. People learn about God's grace. You know, God provided the money for our new world. You know, people are hearing the gospel through our channel. It's amazing. But I didn't do what Christ did. And to boast, I should only boast in the cross of Christ. But the point is, I let things like that define me. These people who done wrong by me, people who hurted me. But not just that, things I did wrong in general in the past, things I said, things I did. So let that go. Why, preacher? Why? Because you're free to. You don't need my approval. You don't need nobody's approval. You already have it with God. And God's approval of you is not based on how you dress or what you do or don't do. It is solely based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, who has made you righteous, who has made you holy, who has forgiven you, and has credited his holiness unto you. So no matter what you do, you're loved, you're righteous, you're holy. Because of what Jesus did. See, going to heaven is not based on how good you are. It's based on what Jesus did. And if you believe what Jesus did, you're holy and righteous. Well, I done this, I still do this, and I still do that. It doesn't matter. God doesn't see it. You're going to sin anyway. See, people think, right? Here's the funny part. People think they don't sin. You see these street preachers telling people, stop doing this, stop doing that. But yes, have you stopped? Well, I'm trying to. That's not what Jesus said. He said, if thou be perfect, go sell everything. See, and here's the thing. It comes from this misunderstanding of repentance. Or if I ask you, what does repent mean? Many of you would say, oh, it means to turn from sin. Raise your hand. You might say that to me, right? You might think that. But the word repent does not mean that. The word repent or repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia. You know what that means? Change one's mind. Has nothing to do with turning from your sins. It's a change of mind whether or not you trusted Jesus or not. So if you believe the gospel, you have repented. You change your mind from unbelief to belief. Or maybe you were trusting in yourself. You change your mind from that to trust in Christ alone. But my point is that many people are Judaized. Many modern Christians are Judaized. And Paul says, we should know by now that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And you should know this by now, that since you're justified apart from the law, you don't go back to it. Anyway, you let go of the past, you're forgiven. And let go of control. And letting go isn't just about just letting go of the past. It's control. Control the present. Listen, there's nothing wrong with planning, right? Business plans, I'm not against that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, stop trying to control the outcomes. Trying to manage what God can only do. Learn to rest, right? Learn to enjoy God in your business. Know that, hey, he has you. He's working all things out for your good. And you can let him control. Say, all right, Lord, this is in your hands. I'm not going to depend on myself here. That's what it means when Jesus said we died with Christ to serve in newness of life. See, newness of life is not you going to church. It's not you reading the Bible. It's not you praying. It is you depending on God. See, we're almost done. In the garden, when Adam and Eve ate the tree of good and evil, where did the source come from now? The law. That was the good and evil, right? Good and evil was the law. And what does that do, the Bible says? 1 Corinthians 15, it stirs up sin. Romans 4:15, it works anger, works wrath. And Hebrews chapter 7 says the law perfects nothing. So many Christians who think that you have to keep God's law for salvation or Christian living, they're heretics, they're wrong. Because the Bible says the law works wrath. It brings death. It brings condemnation. There's no peace in it. It's not good news. Paul calls it a ministry of death. When Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments, was to show you that you don't love God as the law demands. And the law demands you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Can you do that? No. Well, I try to. Trying is not enough. You have to be perfect according to the law. That's why Galatians 3:10, as many of the works of the law are under its curse. Cursed is everyone who continues not in all things. But no man is justified by the law. That's the good news. That's the good news. You have a little passion there. My point with this message is this. Rest in the gospel, people. Because the gospel reminds us what? We're forgiven. We're righteous. We're holy. Not just that. But the gospel shows us we're dead with Christ. And we've died to this world. Paul says, if you die to this world, why are you living under its subjections? Touch not, taste not, handle not. Smell not. Why are you living? Oh, I can't eat this. You know, that's poor. That's unclean according to God's law. You know what God revealed to Peter? Acts 10. He told Peter, rise up, Peter, and kill. And Peter said, no, God, I can't eat anything unclean. God says, don't call what I call clean unclean. God has made it clean. Oh, I can't touch that. You know, I'm a Christian. I can't touch that. That's too perverted. You die to that. Oh, I can't taste that. Sorry. Paul says, hey, if you are dead with Christ, why are you still living to the subjects in this world? See, this world, institutional churches, oh yeah, it's sin, but this religious, when Paul talks about the world, when Jesus said the world's going to hate you, who hated Jesus? Was it the whole world? No. It was what? The Pharisees, the religious people. The world that's going to hate you is the religious world. When Paul says Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world. This present evil world is a performance-based world, conditional. Everything's conditional, love, all of it. God does not deal with us on that. He says, we're not servants. You're not a servant of God. Don't say that. Well, I'm a servant of God, preacher. No, you're not. Only God, though God chose servants, Paul, then there were servants of Christ for the gospel's sake for you, but you're not a servant. God's plan and will for you is not you to be like Apostle Paul. You'll never be like him. You're not a servant, but a son. What Paul went through was for you. What Jesus went through was for you. So you can be what? A son, not a servant. You know, I'm almost done. I'm ranting a little bit. Bear with me. I kind of started the sermon early and got it done in 15 minutes. So I got to add some extra stuff here. All right, Lord help me. But this freedom we have, right? You know, many people say you have to be a disciple of Jesus. Okay, first off, read the Gospel of Luke and tell me that you think you mean disciple. Because the requirements of being a disciple is something none of us can do. Hate your mom, hate your dad. Take up the cross and follow Jesus and go where he went. Can you do that? No. Where did Jesus go? To the cross. This idea of taking up your cross and following him was to show the disciples, the people who are following him, they cannot go where he was going. And no one can be a disciple. Why? Because Jesus is not on earth anymore. You physically can't follow him. Number two, disciples not mentioned in Paul's epistles. Why? Because that kind of life was done away with. You're no longer a disciple. You're no longer a servant and a slave. Get this through your head. You're now a child of God by faith. You're righteous and holy because of what Jesus did. You're free to live. You're free to love. You're free not to love. You're free to enjoy God. You're free to work, whatever you want. You're free in Christ. You're free. Enjoy that freedom. Let go of the past. You're free to love the people in your life now. You're free not to love. I don't know. You're free, though. That's all I can tell you. You're free. You're truly free. You're free in Christ. The gospel brings freedom, not slavery. God didn't create this world for servants and slaves. He created it for sons and heirs. What time is it? All right, almost done. Recap. Point one, let go of your past. Point two, let go of control. Point three, let go of fear. You're fully loved. You don't need to earn people's approval. You don't have to be afraid of tomorrow, and you're safe in the one who loves you. God's love isn't fragile. It doesn't break when you do. The love, God's love for you is everlasting. When you're broken, when you're out of control emotionally, mentally, you say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I have a mental crisis. God's love for you is still there. It's not based on your good works. It's not based on what you do or don't do. It is solely based on the cross of Christ. What the church needs is that. Another reformation. Point sinners back to the cross. Not their deeds, not their works, but Jesus Christ. Because here's what the Bible says. There's none righteous, no, not one. If going to hell was based on how good you are, I'm going to ask you something. Read the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. There's not a just person on this earth. Not just there. Read Isaiah. All our works are as filthy rags. So if going to heaven was based on how good you are, my friend, we're all going to hell. We're all damned anyway then. Because all our works, according to God's law, are filthy rags. We can't keep it. What's our hope then, preacher? That right there. Love it. Cling to it. Cleave unto it. When I die and face God, and God, let's say God does say, why shall I let you in? You think I'm going to run to my works? Okay, I started VR ministry, God. I done this, God. I done that. No, I'm going to say, Lord, your son. Your son. His blood. His righteousness, not my Lord, his righteousness. I'm a filthy, wicked sinner. But you know what? When you die, there's not a judgment for you, right? Believers don't get judged for their sins. Only unbelievers do. Paul says, when we die, we'll be in the presence of the Lord instantly as believers. And guess what? There's no judgment for your sins. Why? Because he took the judgment. You're saved. You're born again. When we talk about that, again, people are confused because they think they're going to have a changed life. They'll be more happier or more loving. No, listen, your flesh doesn't change. The Bible says in Romans 7:18, for I know that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. How to perform what is good, I find not. What changes is your spirit. You're regenerated. And this is not a feeling. This is not an emotion. It's not a sensation. It's a truth. The moment you believe, you're born again. Your sins are forgiven, no longer imputed, no longer reckoned to you. You're righteous and holy no matter what. God forbid, even right now, listen, I'll give you an extreme example. I'll give you a crazy extreme example, like David. David murdered and committed adultery. And guess what? The Bible says he was righteous. What? Yeah. Why? The cross. Because David believed on the future Messiah. He looked forward to the cross. And because of his faith, he was declared righteous. That's why in Romans 4:6, it says, even as David describes the blessedness of man whom God imputes righteousness without works. saying, blessed are they whose sins are what? Forgiven. Amen. Whose sins are what? Gone. So my question is, if you believe the gospel today, no matter what you've done, no matter what you will do in the future, God no longer sees them. He has forgiven you fully. And not just that. Because you're forgiven, you can rest in his grace. Rest in that hey, I'm forgiven. Hey, God's comfortable with me. Not because of anything I've done, because of what Jesus did. You're free. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Sorry if I was a little off topic today. Tro's got me off, and also I kind of started early, and the sermon's like only 14 minutes. I got to those points really quick. All right, Lord, I thank you for the gathering, and I thank you for the people we hear, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you just remind the new people here the gospel. Right, they get anything from this sermon, Lord, to be the gospel that, hey, Jesus died for them, and all they have to do to be saved, to go to heaven, is to believe what you did, Lord. You said narrows the way, Lord, and that is you. You're the truth. You're the way of life, Lord. Lord, most people trust in their works, but you said salvation is a free gift, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the freedom we have because of the gospel, that we're no longer under the law. We don't live by good and evil. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you, Lord, that we're crucified with Christ. All our virtues, all our sins, all our lusts were judged at the cross. And there's no double jeopardy with you, Lord. You expect nothing from the flesh. Thank you, Lord, that you no longer relate to us on the basics of sin, but on the basics of sonship, that we're children and we cry out a father. Thank you, Lord, that we're free in Christ. We're free to let go of the past. We're free to let go of fear, guilt, and shame, and control. We don't have to be a bunch of narcissists trying to control everything, Lord. We're free to let that go. And we're also free, Lord, to let go of fear. Tomorrow, Lord, we're trials out tomorrow, worries about tomorrow. We're free to let go of that, Lord. We're free to let go. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, service is dismissed for fellowship. Amen. Amen. Amen.